Mark Matthews is the director and founder of that sanctuary called the Wild Felid Advocacy Center. You're in Shelton, Washington, and I know for you and your staff it was absolutely heartbreaking because you're in the business of saving these big cats. And tell me what happened and how quickly bird flu took the lives of these animals that you care for every day, Mark.
Well, it all started back in November, around just before Thanksgiving. We had our first cougar, showing, lack of appetite and so on. So we had the vets come out. And anyway, one thing led to another, x-rays and so on. We thought it was, they determined it was, cancer and / pneumonia in her lungs. So, it just kind of, then we had an African caracal across the way get sick. Shortly after, then before you knew it, we had two cougars a couple hundred yards way in the back. All of a sudden, then they started looking at bird flu at that point. And by then, we already had six cats down, just like that.
And all breeds, right? So you had cougars.
Right. We had four cougars. Past in this, we had a tiger, and then we also had some other, plenty of Canada lynx, bobcats, African servals, a Joffrey's cat, a hybrid cat, passed from all this bird flu disease.
And we now know that, you're in Washington State, but California has declared a state of emergency due to bird flu. Did you have any guess that it would have been bird flu? I mean, you had vets who were unaware at that point, right?
Right. Yeah. Not until we ran some samples, then we started thinking, well, this could be that bird flu thing. That, it had happened. We haven't really heard of it happening anywhere until I think around the same time we had some occurrences in Idaho and down in Oregon and Arizona. So. At zoos or sanctuaries, so we had no idea bird flu would affect our cats out here. We're in the business, as a 501c3 nonprofit, saving cats' lives, giving them the best life, spoiling them. And I was, just before this, I was bragging how old our cats were. Some were living to be, we had one of the oldest living snow leopards before this happened. And he didn't pass during this, but about a year ago, and he was 23 years old. So,
it's devastating.
Yeah, really devastating. I mean, you feel like you did them all a disservice somehow, but we don't even know where it came from. First, it thought it was air. It came off, bird droppings, came off our clothing from somebody's farm. And then it was, we still have a Department of Agriculture. He just came out this morning, dropped off a couple more food samples to him. Could be even peacock feathers or feathers from, these frozen rodents and birds we get through the mail that come from back east. So we're having it all tested, the food sources, but nothing so far. So it's undetermined. They're still under investigation.
Well, and what's interesting is California, there were some domestic cats that got bird flu and died because their owners were buying raw food at farmers markets, and that raw food was contaminated. And I think that's the question everybody wants to know, especially people who have cats that might be indoor, outdoor cats. Is it bird droppings? Is it from another cat? Is it something they're consuming? Because there's been no human-to-human transmission, but we have seen farm workers get this bird flu, and we know that it is deadly for cats.
Right, yeah. It could be our birds, or not our birds, but our cats out here eat plenty of birds. I mean, I've, designed a habitat on 5 acres where they get large, habitats and plenty of foliage and flowers and grass and the birds like it. So birds come in too, and they nail the birds like a cat would do, like they typically do. That's what we thought it was at first, but, there's been some, it's kind of be sporadically around the state. They'll find a couple cougars in the wild that had bird flu or, maybe some dead birds. typically they find dead cats on dairy farms is how they know they have a bird flu breakout, you know, in several different states.
Well, I know that you are a nonprofit organization, and the cost has been enormous because you've had to scrub everything and, you know, bring in new food. So if people wanted to help out, what's your website?
Our website is www.wildfelids.org, Felids, F-E-L-I-D-S, .org. And we do donations for food and a lot of cleaning materials and habitat reconstruction and so on. So it's the list goes on. But, you know, we sure would appreciate donations to our website. Some people like to mail checks to our address, 3111 East Harstein Island Road North, Shelton, Washington, 98584. And that is on our website also.
Yeah, they'll just Google it. Nobody, people are in the car.
Yeah.
But so, you know, for people who might live on farms or who have indoor, outdoor cats, according to the American Veterinary Medical Association, they say the signs that a cat may be infected. And let me tell you, you can tell me if this was with your big cats, loss of appetite, they're lethargic, and they have a fever in the early stages.
And the fever, you know, we didn't even have fever in some of our cases. So it's not always, so it's not like flu, like you think you're going to have diarrhea and all that kind of stuff. That would have been a dead giveaway if we had that, some kind of sign.
And then they said once the illness progresses, the cats become kind of depressed and lethargic, rapid breathing, shortness of breath, sneezing, coughing, loss of balance, tremors, seizures, blindness, discharge around their eyes and nose. Did you see any of that?
In some cases, it was all different. In mostly the rapid breathing, like if you had pneumonia and you had rapid breathing, shallow breathing, and your lungs are filling with fluid. And it happens so fast that, you know, by the time we get our vet here, it's usually, in some cases, it was too late. It was almost immediate.
Right. So you lost 20 cats in a span of how much time? 20 big
20 cats. Well, we started back first one, Hannah Wyoming. She came from the state of Wyoming. She passed November 23rd. And then our last one, December 2nd. It was an African serval. So, I mean, it's been a little time, but we've had about a half a dozen cats recover fully, 100%. We still have one that's critical, kind of lost her, one of our African servals lost her leg, feeling in her legs. So we're trying to nurse her back to health.
So where did you save these big cats from? Are they from circuses? Are they from zoos? Where did they come from?
Well, Hannah, Wyoming, come from a variety of places. Some come from the wild. Two that were here came from Washington State wild, where a hunter shot the mother. And then one came from Wyoming. Somebody ran the mother over their car. And a lot of them are personal pets. That the average cat we get here is 6 years old on average, and it just doesn't work out in their household because they have medical bills, they have to move. And they're big cats, yeah. There's bobcat servals, considered pretty big.
Well, thank you for sharing the story, because I think a lot of people are following this this bird flu story, and yours is pretty tragic, and you've seen the greatest amount of loss, and I just wanted people to understand the danger, not just to big cats, but to little cats and felines all along the line, you know, everybody.
Yeah. You know. I would just go with the easy way, just feed them the safe food, you know?
All right. We will take that from you. Thank you so much for joining us, and good luck.
Okay, thank you very much.